Family, I was watching a tribute to our men and women in the military. And during this tribute, it was a musical tribute to them. There were several songs that were performed. All the songs that were performed were very encouraging, very powerful, and very meaningful. One song stood out the most to me. And the song was titled, If Tomorrow Never Comes. This song was written by Garth Brooks back in 1988, released in 1989. When Mr. Brooks was asked why he wrote that song, he said the song is about a man who wanted to make for sure that his wife knew that he loved her. In the event that something happened to him, he did not want her to doubt or even wonder about his love for her. Also in the song, he encourages the listeners to take note of the people that they love and to let them know every day that they are loved and that they are missed if they're far away. Now, before the presentation of this piece, one of the soldiers stood up to give an introduction to this song and why the song was selected. He began to tell the story about what goes on that battlefield. He talked about the soldiers every day, not knowing from one day to the next if tomorrow would come for them. The things that they face. Some of the soldiers went into the battlefield and ended their lives immediately. The enemy was being well prepared, and so were our soldiers. But yet the enemy was looking for ways to penetrate their camp, penetrate their weaponry, and also to get in to destroy them, as our military was out to do the same. If tomorrow never comes, many of them were faced with that dilemma. It wasn't just tomorrow, it was one moment of each and every day, because they didn't know if they would live past this moment. A very traumatic experience. And so when he began to explain what happens out here on the battlefield, the things that the soldiers go through, it made this song here a little bit more special. I'll read you the first chorus to this song and the first verse to this song. I have never heard this song, and I'm surprised. 1988, I thought I would have heard just about anything that's been out here on the radio. But I had never heard this song before. When I first heard the song being presented in this tribute, I thought it was about the relationship between a father and a daughter. But once I downloaded the actual lyrics and I listened to the song again myself, I could see what his thoughts were when he wrote the song. The words read, "Sometimes late at night, I lie awake and watch her sleeping. She's lost in peaceful dreams. So I turn out the lights and I lay there in the dark. And the thought crosses my mind. If I never wake up in the morning, would she ever doubt the way I feel? The way I feel about her in my heart. If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I loved her? Did I try in every way to show her every day that she's my only one? If my time on earth were through, and she must face the world without me, is the love I gave to her in the past going to be enough to help her to last? If tomorrow never comes, because I've lost loved ones in my life who I never knew how much I loved them, now I live with regret that my true feelings for them will never be revealed. Loved ones that have died that he didn't have the chance to let them know how much they were loved. This tribute to the soldiers, or to the men and the women whose bodies were broken, shattered, whose minds were shattered after the war. Many didn't make it home. And those that did not make it home did not have the opportunity and chance to tell their loved ones back home that they loved them. They started letters, never finished those letters, in letting them know how much they were loved. And yet, even for those who survived, really didn't win the battle. They may have won the war, but the battle continues on. Their minds are broken. Their minds were shattered because of the things that they saw, the events that took place. You cannot erase all the things that you saw over there in the war, he exclaimed. These men and women suffered a lot. They went through a lot. But you know, those that came home after they were reinstated to their command post, they went out on the parade grounds. They were strong. They were unified. And as they marched on that parade ground, we all watched and observed them. They looked great. Emotions were high because many were seeing their loved ones coming home. But little did they know what else they were bringing with them. But together, family, they were a strong unit. They were a very proud unit. And yet, we were proud of them. But those, family, whose minds were shattered, the military has determined that they were suffering from a disorder. A disorder called PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. They realized that this disorder is real. What is post-traumatic stress disorder? Well, from the VA Support Center and the Veterans Support of PTSD, here is what they tell us. You feel on edge. Nightmares keep coming back. Sudden noises may make you jump. You're staying at home more and more. Could it be possible that you are suffering from post-traumatic stress, or better known as PTSD? If you have experienced severe trauma or life-threatening events, whether during the time of war or in a non-combat situation, you may develop symptoms of post-traumatic stress, or what is commonly known today as PTSD. Maybe during the event you felt as if your life or lives of others were in danger, or that you had no control over what was happening. While in the military, you may have witnessed people being injured, murdered, and dying. Or you may have experienced physical harm, even to yourself. Some of the most common symptoms for PTSD include recurring memories or nightmares of the events, sleeplessness, loss of interest, feelings of numbness, anger, and irritability, or being constantly on guard. But there are many ways PTSD can impact their everyday life. Sometimes these symptoms don't surface for months or even years after an event has occurred, or after returning from deployment. They may also come and go. If these problems persist and they're disrupting the daily life, the individual may be suffering from PTSD. Some factors can increase the likelihood of traumatic stress. Events leading up to the PTSD. Such trauma events are the intensity of the trauma, being hurt or losing someone you were very close to, being physically close to the traumatic event, feeling you were not in control, having a lack of support after the event. They may have won the little wars, but that battle, family, continues on. It continues on in their minds. You cannot erase the things that you have seen when in war. You and I have suffered in times past as well. And we have experienced things in our own personal life that may have traumatized us, or things that may have caused us to lose sleep, to become stressed over. PTSD is a disorder that's found not only in those who have served in the military, but is found in those who have not served in the military. Is there a treatment for PTSD? The answer is yes. There are two types of treatments. Both treatments have been proven to work for those who are struggling with PTSD. The first treatment is counseling. The second is medication. Professional therapy and counseling can help you understand your thoughts, your reactions, and help you to learn techniques to cope with the changing situations. So there is help for these men and women out there. But the only problem is they have to ask for the help. And their loved ones have to know the signs, to know and understand what's going on with that individual. There was a famous actress in the audience who was interviewed, and she talked about when she was 12 years old, listening to her mother trying to calm her father down in the middle of the night. He was having nightmares and dreams of the things that he saw, and she would constantly try to calm him down and let him know, you're okay, you're home, I've got you now. And she talked about just listening to her mom and listening to her mom calm her father down to give him a sense of peace so that he can sleep at night. Others turn to other substances to deal with PTSD. And yet, they're viewed as alcoholics and drunks and drug addicts, and yet not given a fair shake to understand why they are in that condition. There are things, family, that are presented before an individual that may traumatize that individual. There are things that you and I have experienced that may have traumatized us as well. There are those that wish tomorrow would not come, rather than to continue to live with the nightmares, the dreams, the interruptions in their life because of what they experienced and because of what they watched. What does this have to do with you and me today? Family, together, when we are together, we are strong. When we're here on the Sabbath together, we are strong. At the Feast of Tabernacles, the Winter Family Weekend, the Holy Days, when God's people come together, we are a strong unit. We encourage each other. We support one another. We show that love to one another. We reach out and we try to help. But that help can only go so far. Just like those men and women who were standing in that parade line, when they were released to go back to their families and to go back home, they were just an individual. They weren't a unit anymore. What happened to their lives when they went behind closed doors? What happens in your life when you go home? You know what? I like to think and believe, but my mind won't allow me to do that. Because in knowing that God's people struggle. God's people suffer from time to time. And yet, God's people go through things themselves. And so when you think about the overall health of our church, our congregation, we cannot determine that that health is great because of the fact that when we're together, we're strong. What about when we are alone? Do we find that little dark place that we go to? If tomorrow never comes, family, for you and for me, what state will Jesus Christ and God the Father find us in today? What does our spiritual health look like? You know, many of us, we go to the doctor. We ask the doctor, you know, give us a good going over. Let us know what's going on. We're looking for a clean bill of health. We're looking for a good report on our physical health. So we let the doctor poke, prod, take pictures, scan, do all these amazing things to come back and say, hey, you're good. You know, I don't feel good. You poked and prodded and yanked and jabbed me in the eye and the ear and the nose. You know, I wonder if this is where they get the term Pokemon came from. That's what you feel like when you walk away from them. But we are concerned, family, about our physical health. How are we doing physically? And we want a good, clean bill of health. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't get one. What state is our spiritual health? What state is our spiritual health in? Is it good? Is it bad? Does it need improvement? What's the condition of our spiritual health? Let's examine today, family. Let's examine today our spiritual health. The title for the sermon this afternoon is, Am I Spiritually Fit Today If Tomorrow Never Comes? Am I spiritually fit today if tomorrow never comes? Will Jesus Christ and God the Father find me today wanting to make for sure through my examples and my actions that I love them, that you love them? Or will they have to stop and think and wonder if we love them? We're concerned about our human families and friends, but what about our spiritual family? What about our overall spiritual health? You know, last week we heard messages from the Bible study on Friday night a week ago to the sermon, telling us and encouraging us to arm up, to put on that whole armor, because our adversary is busy. But yet our adversary is also busy looking for ways to penetrate that armor. Are we giving him the opportunity to find that loophole, that weakness, or find us in that little dark place that we don't need to be in? What is the condition of your overall spiritual health? Well, family, let's take some time now and let's do a spiritual checkup. God's people, just like those men and women coming home from the military, they found out that their minds were shattered because of the things that they saw and the things that they witnessed. And they determined that they were suffering from post-traumatic stress, PTSD. Let me ask us a question. Are we suffering from a spiritual disorder? A spiritual disorder known as ADSD. ADSD, a deficiency in our spiritual development. Are we, God's people, suffering from a deficiency in our spiritual development, better known as ADSD. What are the signs of ADSD in God's people? Depression, anxieties caused by stress and trials, withdrawn, pushing others away, creeping back into that dark place where you feel safe and you want to be alone, making excuses, worn down, restlessness, fearful, and sin. These are some of the signs of a spiritual condition called ADSD. What's the root cause for ADSD? What causes you and me to have ADSD? Well, simple. When you go to the doctor, you want to find out something about your blood. You want to know what you're deficient in. And so they will tell you. Well, I want to share with us today what the root cause of ADSD is. It's very simple. It's a deficiency in our daily vitamins, vitamin P, vitamin B, vitamin F, and vitamin H. Now, I know all of you have those vitamins. I know you have them in your shelves. You've got everything else in that shelf, and I know these are in there. Vitamin P, prayer. Vitamin B, Bible study. Vitamin C, faith. I'm sorry, vitamin F, faith. Vitamin F, for fasting also. And vitamin H, God's Holy Spirit. Are you deficient in any of these categories? It's a good question. Makes you stop and think. But let's be honest, because we're doing a spiritual checkup here. Are we deficient in vitamins P, B, F, and H? Prayer, Bible study, faith, and using God's Holy Spirit. If we are, family, then we need improvement. And so here is our opportunity today to get some instructions on how to fix this deficiency. Let's start with prayer. Are you deficient in your prayer life? How often and how many times a day do you pray? Do you pray once a week? Do you pray once a month? How often do you pray? You see, the adversary is looking for the areas that he can attack. You see, he knows that we have that armor on. All right, he knows that that armor is on to fight against those fiery darts that are being thrown at us. But he's not going to give up. He's looking for other ways to attack and to destroy you and me. What's our prayer life look like? Join me, if you will, over to Psalms 55. Psalms 55, how often are you praying? Psalms 55, we'll see where David is crying out to God. David is under attack. But it's interesting where his attack is coming from. And so, family, as we go about our days, we cannot always think and believe that even those that are close to us are going to be supportive of us and in our corner. Let's take a look at this thought I just presented to you from David's point of view. How often, family, are we praying? Verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. David is reaching out to God, and he's asking God, I need you to take note of me. I need you to hear me. I have some things I need to talk to you about. Do we go about our day finding ways to have a conversation with the Father, letting him know, hey, you know what? There's some things I need to talk to you about. It's always a good time for him. It's always a good time. We don't have to ask the Father, Father, is this a good time for us to sit down and have a conversation? We don't have to do that. He is there. He is waiting to hear from us. Verse 2, attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearlessness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. David sounds like he's in trouble here. Does this sound like you and me? Times past, or maybe even today. Do we feel like that armor is weighing us down? Or is it life weighing us down? You see, we get it mixed up sometimes. We take the armor off, and we can't afford to do that. Because when we arm up, family, we have to stay armed up. Because the adversary is not backing down. He is looking for ways to destroy. Remember, he's a roaring lion. He's going about and he's seeking to devour. And if he could catch you and me in that dark place and keep us there for a moment, he has us. If he can separate you from me, you from us, if he can remove you from the foe, he has you where he wants you. And if you stay away, you're leaving yourself open to whatever troubles he's going to bring your way. Why did the shepherd leave the 99 and go after the one? Because the shepherd knows that if that sheep stays out, he's going to be slaughtered. He's going to be taken down. He's going to be destroyed. Satan is looking for that one sheep to wander off, to separate themselves away from the fold. And he's going after that one. And we have to be careful of that, family. We do have to be careful of that. And David continues to grieve on. Verse 6, so I said, oh, that if I had wings like a dove, I could fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. David is asking God to deal with this situation, to destroy those who are trying to hurt and destroy him. Now he's praying out to God, he's reaching out to God for help. Verse 10, day and night they go around it on the walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in the midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from his streets. For if it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor it is one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. It is the one that was the closest to him, that was out to hurt and to destroy him. And so, family, when we sacrifice prayer, we're not allowing God to be a part of what's going on at that moment. And then when things happen and fall apart, then we're reaching back out to God, asking, well, Lord, why did this happen to me? Well, the question is, where was that communication with me? You took it upon yourself to go out here and to do these things. But David is coming back and he's saying, hey, I need your help. I need your help. And he's crying out to God and he's beseeching God. Verse 14, we took sweet counsel together, he says, and walked to the house of God in the throne. We served together. We fellowshiped together. David says, let death seize them. Let them go down into the pit. For a witness is in their dwellings. I'm sorry, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. He says, I will pray evening, morning, and noon. I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. How often, family, are we praying to God? How often are we having this communication with him? How involved do we have the Father in our lives? How involved do we have him in our lives? Morning, noon, and night. Are we deficient in our prayer life? Because if we're not praying to God 3 times a day, what are we doing? What are we doing to ourselves? Family, we are leaving ourselves open. We're leaving ourselves deficient in our prayer life. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 16, you don't have to turn there. But we're reminded that when we pray, we are to rejoice always. And we're to pray without ceasing. And in everything, we are to give thanks. How many times do we have a conversation with God and just let the Father know how much we appreciate him and how much we appreciate the sacrifice that he and Jesus Christ made for us? How often do we just say, Father, I just want to take a moment to say thank you and that I love you. Have you ever just stopped and said to God, I love you? He loves us. He tells us that he loves us. You know, one of the biggest part of my day when I'm getting a message from one of my kids or one of my grandkids, I don't care what is being said in that text, always at the end, it says, I love you. You know, that means a lot. That's special. That shows a care that that individual has. And so, in all they're asking at the end, they're saying thank you. Oh, and by the way, I love you, because I know this will get you, and you'll send me the $5 I want. But I love you. Father, I love you, and I thank you for what you've done for me. I know what I deserve, but your love for me is proven every day through the blessings that you give me. How often do we just talk to God and rejoice versus just always troubling God with the troubles that we have? Now, he wants to hear about these things. He wants to know about those things. But you know what? Wouldn't it be nice? Many of you are parents, or your aunts and uncles. Don't you appreciate knowing that they love you, that someone loves you? Well, I'm quite sure that God the Father appreciates knowing that we love him and that we love his son, our older brother, Jesus Christ. How do we fix this deficiency in prayer? We pray, family, 3 times a day. We pray, we communicate with God, we get God involved in our life, and we let God know how much we appreciate him. Do you start your day with complaints to God, or do you start your day with thanks to God? I've awakened this morning. I thank you. I love you for watching over me, for protecting me throughout the night. You keep me safe. You know, he does a lot of things for us. Do we show that gratitude in our conversations with him? This is how we fix that deficiency in our prayer life. How about our Bible study? How do we fix the deficiency here in our Bible study? You know, one of the interesting things about FI, I remember when I was going through the 10-month program, 6 hours a day, Bible, God in my face. 6 hours a day. No gym, no basketball practice, No cheerleading practice. Bible. 100% Bible. 6 hours a day. And then on the Sabbath, you got an hour and a half for Sabbath services with God speaking and talking to you. How much time, family, do we spend allowing God to talk to us? What's your Bible study look like? And yes, it is raining. I had nothing to do with that. What does your Bible study look like? Once a month? Once a week? Family, we should find time every day. Every day to have God's word in front of us. Whether we're at work, you know, it's amazing how respect and honor is given to others of various religions when they sit off to the side and someone will say, oh, leave them alone, this is their prayer time. Oh, leave them alone, this is their Bible study time. Why can't you do that? Are you ashamed? You'll be surprised what others will think of you. Don't be ashamed, family. We need God speaking to us just as much as we spend time talking to him. That Bible study is very important. How are we, family, going to teach others the things that God is teaching us if we are not focused on his word, if we don't have him communicating to us? Let's go over and take a look at 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Bible study, family, is God's way of putting his thoughts into our mind, his way of life, his rules, and that we follow those rules on a daily basis. He gave us these commandments that we are to keep. They weren't suggestions, they were commandments. 2 Timothy 2, let's go over here and start in verse 1. He says, you, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. This instruction that Paul is giving to Timothy is for them to be able to teach others. This word is being given to faithful men. Are you ready to teach? You should be. We should be. Are you ready to teach others? The only way that you're going to be able to do this is you have to put in that time. You have to put in the time in your daily Bible study in order to know what to say, when to say it, and how to present it. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So that means our lives is not going to always be easy. We're going to have trials. We're going to have things that jump out at us. We're going to have those moments of discouragement. But family, we cannot allow those things to bring us down to the point where we just separate ourselves from God. We separate him from our prayer life, and we separate from him in our Bible study. That's what the adversary wants. If nothing else today, if you don't do your Bible study, you have pleased the adversary. Now, that's a brain shocker. If I don't pray to God, you have pleased the adversary. And he wants you and me to be deficient in our prayer life and in our Bible study time. He says, you're going to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You've got to follow the rules. in order to compete, in order for you and I to be able to teach, be the teachers that God wants us to be, we have to follow the rules. And the rule is to study. Study. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in these things. He is wanting to give you and me understanding in all things. And understand this, family. Our Bible study is very important in our relationship to God. It's very important. Don't do the Bible study. Please the adversary. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory, Paul says. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, this is important. If we are faithless to him, he is going to remain faithful. Think about that. If we are faithless, he is going to remain faithful. The things that he has promised you and me, he is going to fulfill. He's going to keep his word. Now the work is up to you and me. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit. You know, don't engage in a conversation that's going to cause a heated battle between you and someone else. They have their points of view, they have their beliefs, and we have the truth. He says, don't engage. He says, don't strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babbling. You know what happens when we get caught up in certain conversations with people in the world. You know, some of the stuff doesn't make sense. You know, what you're saying doesn't make sense. Do you even pay attention to the words that are coming out of your mouth? They don't make sense. But then there we are, engage in an argument with them. Who looks more foolish? God doesn't want us in that position. Verse 23, he says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. You know what? I'm going to have to take a step back. I'm going to have to respectfully agree to disagree. I don't want to argue with you over this. A servant of the Lord must be gentle to all, able to teach. If we're not studying the word of God, family, we're not going to be able to teach. But to be able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their own senses and escape the snares of the devil. This is what the hope and the intent is. But family, we have to have that spiritual discernment to know when to continue on and when to back away. He says, having been taken captive by him to do his will, and that is the adversary. Finishing out verse 26 there. You know, we're reminded here that when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the word of God, what do we have to gain from that? Well, 2 Timothy 3, you don't have to turn there, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, we are reminded that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. His word, his inspired word, he has blessed and inspired what we read in that book. It's given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see what we're missing out on? If we don't have that daily vitamin every day, the Word of God being presented to us, God talking to you and to me. I tell you, the FI students, I hope they all realize and know and understand the value of having God in their face 6 hours a day. 6 hours a day. Family, this is not a time to go to that dark place that we want to go and hover in. The adversary knows that you go there, and he's waiting for you. And he's hoping that he can get you to stay put, because that's where he will end up destroying you. You can't go there. How do I come out of that? Through prayer, through Bible study, fixing the deficiencies in my spiritual life, making myself now a little more healthier with my spiritual growth. We don't want to sit back and continue to suffer from ADSD, a deficiency in our spiritual development. We don't want to do that. So how do we fix it? We read. We study more every day. We make that a priority. The Bible, our learning, our understanding, gaining the things that God will give us, it has to be a priority. No Bible study? Please the adversary. No prayer? Please the adversary. All right, let's go over to faith. How do we fix the deficiency in our faith life? Hebrews 11 and verse 6, you don't have to turn there. Familiar scripture. It says, without faith it's impossible for us to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that, number one, he is God. And he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we cannot please him if we're lacking in faith. How is it that we have become lacking in faith? Deficiency in prayer? Deficiency in Bible study? And now we come to our faith. How is our faith strengthened when we don't have anything to support it? How is it that we know that God is God? Through his inspired word. We learn this through the Bible study. We communicate to him in prayer. Has your faith been shaken up to the place, family, where maybe you want to give up? You can't give up. He didn't call us to quit. The rules are very simple for you and me. We must endure until the end. We can't throw in the towel and we can't quit. The work is going to continue moving forward. And God has a plan for you and me. And if our faith has been shaken, then what we need to do is go back to our prayer to God, asking God for help, asking God to strengthen our faith, asking God to remove us out of that dark place that we keep going to and hiding when we're in trouble or when we're stressed out. Returning back to the fold when we have gone astray. God, family, has a plan for you and for me. And we have to stay with the program here. We've got to stay with it. What happens when our faith crashes on us? Well, let's take a look at David. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Let's go over here and take a look at David and see what happened to David when his faith failed him. Now, David, a man after God's own heart. David, a man who God has used. David, who supported God and who ridiculed others because of their lack of faith and belief and trust in God. David, who slew the Philistine giant Goliath through God's hand he was able to do that. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to do something that David shouldn't have done. He moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and the leaders of the people, go and number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But, my lord, the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should we be a cause of guilt in Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed, and he went out through all of Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the number of the people to David. All of Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew a sword. Now, I have a question right here. How do they count all these people? 1,100,000 men. This was a report that came back. And Judah had 470,000 men who drew a sword. But they did not count Levi and Benjamin. Now, God was not pleased with David. David did something that he should not have done. David doubted God. Now, here is God leading you all the way. And now you want to know what your opposition looks like? Before, you never worried about that. Why are you concerned about that now? And so in verse 7, and God was very displeased with this thing. Therefore, he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now, I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done a very foolish thing. Family, sometimes we do foolish things because of sin, because of doubt. Family, we cannot doubt God. Our faith gets shaken up. And when our faith is shaken, we go back to rule number one, prayer. Rule number two, Bible study. To be able to increase our faith, we also must add fasting. We must add fasting. David in Psalms 35 and verse 13 and Psalm 69 and verse 10, he says we fast to humble ourselves before God. And we have to have that moment and that opportunity where we stop and we have to go to God and say, okay, God, I need to draw myself closer to you. I need to humble myself. Things are out of control in my life. See, you don't go run to that dark place. You run to God. James 4, verse 7 through 10. You don't have to turn there. James 4, he says, submit to God and resist the devil. But family, sometimes we do it the opposite. We resist God. And if we're resisting God, we're resisting God because of sin. Because we feel because of our failures, God's not going to approve of us. Well, that's not true. Okay? He says, submit to God. David says, humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Okay? Here's another one. Resist God, please the devil. Resist God, please the devil. He says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Some kind of way we got that backwards. We are to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. He says, to cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We must humble ourselves in his sight, and he'll lift us up. He'll bring us up. We can't go run to our little hiding spot. If we're going to run, run to God. Run to God. Cry out to God, just like David did. And he showed us, even though he was in trouble, and these people that were trying to destroy him were the people that were the closest to him. But yet, he ran to God. This is what that example is all about. Run to the one that's going to save you. Run to the one that's going to help you. Run to the one who will give you peace. This is what he wants us to do. How do we fix this deficiency? It's very simple. To fix this deficiency in our faith, prayer, Bible study, fasting. You fast once a year? It's not enough. Family, we should be probably fasting once a week to draw ourselves close to God. Some of us maybe twice a week to draw ourselves close to God. We don't want to continue to live our lives struggling with ADSD, a deficiency in our spiritual development, because we are rejecting or we're not turning our hearts back to God. We're turning our hearts to everything else but God. God wants us to come to Him. He gave us His Son who died for you and for me. He gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not die for nothing. He died for you and for me so that we would have the opportunities that we have today here, fellowshipping together on the Sabbath. The truth of God being presented to us every week. And family, we should have our eyes in this word so that God can continue to communicate to us, letting us know the things that He wants us to know, the things that are going to help us to grow and not be deficient in prayer and Bible study and our faith being shaken up. It's not going to happen if we, family, are doing what we're supposed to do. We're following the rules. We're following the rules. Jesus Christ did not die for nothing. He died for you and He died for me. What about the Holy Spirit? Here is a gift that was given to you and to me. How do we fix this deficiency in our spiritual life? Well, family, we have to go back and remember. In Acts 2 and verse 38, you don't have to turn there. He says, Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." We all who are baptized have done that. We have repented, and we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We can't throw it back, family. We accepted Him as our personal Savior. And after we were baptized, hands were laid upon us, and a prayer was prayed. And He says, "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here is something that was given to you and to me. We can't give it back. We can't throw it away. We are given God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit to guide, to direct, to help us, to coach us, to remind us of where we need to be. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Don't have to turn there. "For God has not given you nor I the spirit of fear." That is not the gift that He gave us. And we have to be reminded of that. We have to be reminded. I did not give you the spirit of fear. I gave you power. I gave you love. And I gave you a sound mind. It's what He's saying here. And then Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23, then we see the fruit of that Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Family, are we not focused on the things that God has done for you and for me? You know, as I look at the things that are taking place in the world, and I look at the events and things that are taking place in our church, I personally believe that God is trying to get our attention. I personally believe that. I believe that God is trying to shake us up, to get us to see and to know that there are greater things that are coming along down the road here. And if we don't have it together, family, we're going to be in trouble. We cannot neglect our prayer life, our Bible study life. We cannot neglect and doubt God when it comes to us having faith in him and his ability to do the things that he promises to do. If we are faithless, he is faithful. That's what he told you and me. He is faithful. He is going to continue to do the things that he promised to do. He's not going to turn his back on us. He's not going to walk away from us. And sometimes we feel that way. I get that. I understand that. You know why I get and understand that? Because I have felt that way. In our lives, there are things that happen. But they don't happen to destroy us. I'm still standing here. You're still sitting here. It is only to make us stronger, to make us more faithful to God in knowing and believing that he is faithful. Even when we want to give up and throw in the towel, he was still there for us. He was still there with us. And family, now is not the time for us to separate ourselves from the fold. Now is not the time for us to continue living our lives with ADSD, a deficiency in our spiritual development. We must continue to grow as God's people. I was moved and inspired. If tomorrow doesn't come, what does our life look like to Jesus Christ and God the Father today? Do they see that we love them through our actions? What is it that God wants us to do? Well, the answer is found right here in his word. We've got to stay focused in his word. Webster defines the word deficiency as a shortage or something lacking or something failing or a shortcoming. That's what deficiency is being defined as. Family, we have been given a great blessing here. God has called us out of the world. He has not led us into darkness. He has led us into the light. He shows us our future. We can't give up. We can't throw in the towel. James 4 and verse 13, you don't have to turn there. I'm sorry. James 4 and verse 14, he says, do you not know? We don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. What we have right now is today. What are we doing with today? We do not know what will happen tomorrow. But if tomorrow doesn't come, what does our relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father look like today? The song was about love towards family and friends. The writer of the song was encouraging us to let people know how much you love them, because tomorrow may not be promised to you. But let them know today. Live your life in showing and demonstrating to others your love for them. Why can we not do the same for Jesus Christ and God the Father? Showing them through our actions, in our prayer life, in our Bible study, exercising faith, fasting, drawing ourselves closer and near to him. Not resisting him, but drawing ourselves closer to him and near to him. What do you think that does to the Father when he looks down and he sees you're still going? You're still going. We're like that Energizer bunny. We're still going. We're still going. Okay? The battery hasn't run down. He's not going to let it run down. And so we cannot give up. We cannot throw in the towel. Family, when we are spiritually healthy, we stand strong and connected with God, as well as with each other. But when we're alone and our spiritual health is good, family, then we are up and strong and ready to do the work that God has given us to do. We put on that armor. We keep that armor on. But we also have to know that our adversary is looking for ways to destroy you and me. If he can separate us from the foe, he has us where he wants us. If we are deficient, if we are spiritually deficient, he's looking for those weaknesses as well, because he's going to use those deficiencies to bring us down. And we can't afford that. And God's not going to allow that to happen, but yet we have to be doing something ourselves first. God's people today cannot afford to be struggling with ADSD, cannot be struggling with a deficiency in our spiritual development. We must continue to grow, look up to God, look into his word, get that guidance and direction from him that we need. God has given us a clear focus of our future and the purpose of our life as he continues to empower you and me to move forward and pressing towards his kingdom. Now is not the time, family, to be struggling with ADSD. Now is the time for us to pick up, to realize and to know and understand that we need him, and because he has a plan for you and for me. If tomorrow never comes, I hope that we are found spiritually healthy today, and that through our examples, the Father knows that we love him very much. That we love him very much. There's no doubt, there's no question about our love for God. We demonstrate that daily in our lives by not allowing ourselves to be deficient in prayer, Bible study, and our faith, in fasting and in drawing ourselves closer to him, and in utilizing his Holy Spirit. He gave that gift to us. He didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us hope. He gave us love. He says, I know my plans for you. They're not to destroy you. They're to build you up. They're to give you a future. And they're there to give you hope. So family, should someone decide to make a tribute to God's people today, I hope the song that they select is a song that is titled, That We Are God's People.